Why do you think they asked him to leave? You would think, seeing these two demoniacs, you know, now peaceful, freed from demons, they'd say, oh, Jesus, stay here. We need you. It's typical. You know, as I was reading that, I remembered one of the young men in the community years ago told me he was out in California on business. And he went into a clothing store just to see what's out there. And he started talking. He was a young fellow himself. He started talking to the clerk, who was also young. And what do you do? He said, well, I belong to a group of people, and we're trying to figure out who God is and how to answer him. And the other guy said, ah, it's too heavy for me. That's what's happening here. Jesus, this is just too much reality for us. Just please go. We can, you know, you come, you've got such power that these screwballs, whatever was wrong with them, you healed them, and you sent this whole herd of pigs into the river there, into the lake. This is just too much reality for us. Makes us stop and think. You know, we're doing fine. You know, when we get close to death, we'll ask for a shot in the arm, and, you know, we'll just coast off into oblivion. This one fellow was now a wonderful priest, but he was a drug addict. He was a mess. And he used to think, I don't have the guts to commit suicide, but it would be nice if they could just hit the delete button and I just wouldn't be, you know. Can you imagine having to live like that? See, that's the bottom line, you know. It's Jesus, just too much reality. Now, as we read this, you see, this today, if you say the luminous mysteries particularly, you see, you can always take that mystery on the public life and take the event of the gospel and pray about it. What is going on here? Look at it. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God incarnate. That's who he is. And they, with all their demonic, they know there's something going on here. They surely don't know that. But they know they're in the presence of somebody from God. And that's why they say, huh? What have you to do with us, Son of God? You know, you belong to God. Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time? On the other side, you see, so there is God, Almighty God, among us. On the other side, there are evil, vicious, hate-filled spirits. There are. You know, in a way, when you're kind of working in places like Africa and India, it's a lot easier. Because the demons are right there, and people are, you know, wriggling on the ground like snakes, and when people are preaching, and you just go pray over them, and bingo, over. In this nice, sophisticated culture of the West, you see, the demons are much bigger, much deeper, much more subtle. But they have succeeded in their plan to begin the destruction of the human race. Not just bother some poor little guy who's in trouble or because somebody cursed him. No, destroy the race. And so, you see, we have this story here, and there is over in pagan territory, on the other side of the lake, close to the lake, one of the towns. You see, it says he's in the territory of the Gadarenes. It wasn't just the town of Gadara. And these two fellows were so savage that no one could travel by that road. Now, there is then this massive fight with evil. Every man who gets into that position where Benedict the 16th is right now is all of a sudden visited with this knowledge. He has to be. Jesus teaches him, and he sees it. And he prays every day for wisdom. Besides that massive attack to destroy the human race, and only Jesus can save us from that. You know, we've gotten ourselves in so much trouble. We can't do it. You know, we can't get ourselves out of it. Jesus has to come. I mean, come. Now, he's promising to come. I am coming soon. Does that mean the end of the world? No. It means I am coming in the souls of everyone who will accept me. And I will transform you. And we will make this world safe again for God's children. Now in this process, there's going to be great upheavals and some great suffering. But don't be afraid. I will be there. I will protect you. I will tell you what to do. And if you suffer, give it to me. I need it. All these lost souls, give it to me. And if you die, I have a place waiting for you in heaven. It's been there for all eternity. And I love you. I touch your life. I know you. So don't worry. Just every day, you know, get up in the morning. Make a pledge of allegiance to God the Father. I'm yours. I want to do your will today and listen to me all day. That's what you have to do. Now, there's one part of this that's part of what is the spiritual battle. These demons, they come in various sizes, you know. And there are some, you've no idea of their hatred. No idea of their hatred. And people in hell hate and torture one another. You have no idea of this hatred. Jesus protects us. If you read today, St. Teresa of Avila, in the Magnificat, you know. It's the power of this risen Lord, this God, who is Jesus Christ, who protects us, but not completely. Because we have to take our share of, you know, sharing in our own bodies the suffering of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. And to win salvation for many people, we have to fight against evil. You heard our friend Amos this morning, right? He was pretty tough, wasn't he? You know? Hate evil and love good. You're never going to be a nice guy doing that. First, start with yourself. Don't be a prophet telling everybody else to shape up unless you're willing to die to self. And it's easy to shape everybody else up. You know? And for all that stuff you're doing, I hate them. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Away with your noisy songs. You know, I love to hear you praise me. I gave you the Psalms as a gift from me so that you could praise me in my own words. I gave them to you. They are precious. But if you're just going to go blah, 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 I don't need that. That's not my word. Now, in the spiritual battle, we have to be smart. One of the greatest experts in this is Ignatius, though you heard Teresa this morning too. There are times when there's something going on in your life that's really strong and kind of incessant. It's probably a spirit. All of a sudden you're angry or lazy, or you see, when people are growing in their spiritual life, in their Christian life, in every area but one, that's a sign. You know, they're doing great, they're generous, they're trying to pray, but chastity is a problem. Day after day after day after day, look there. That's one of the things spiritual directors first look for. Is there something that just is not yielding? There's probably spirit there. In your own life, look. I get in a mood, you know. I start thinking of people, and pretty soon I'm thinking of everybody I don't like, and you know, and I'm mad at them all. And now we could do that plenty by ourselves. But when it is sort of a pattern, look out. Now these demons, they're not going to drag you to hell. I mean, they could if you got, you know, bad enough. But they're going to ruin your life and the union you could have with Jesus. So what do you do? Well, the first thing you can do, you see, is just say, spot them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the spirit of avarice. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the spirit of rejection. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the spirit of anger. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the spirit of vengeance. You get rid of them yourself. In the name of Jesus Christ. So, that's not magic, right? That's what the Lord was complaining about there in Amos. Who is this Jesus Christ that whom I am invoking? He is the living, eternal Son of God, become man. And in that name, I renounce. In that power, in the power of that blood, that act of love in which he died and saved the whole human race, I renounce. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the spirit of lust. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the spirit of fear. Well, you say, I don't know what it is. You know, all right, ask the Holy Spirit. What is it that's going on here? You see? What happens? We start to get into that enthusiasm for holiness that Jesus wants to give us. So we're not just respectable, we're Christian. That's what the Lord wants. Zeal for holiness. Zeal. One of the smartest ways to deal with this is to have a very deep and abiding relationship to the Mother of God and be consecrated to her. This is not just, you know, make-believe, folks. Somebody who is consecrated to Mary is in a sphere of her protection. And she is the captain of the army of light that is going to drive darkness right out of this universe. In the Greek rite, we sing to her, we sing a song, Ti Ipermako Stratigota, Ta Nikteria, to the super powerful general, we sing hymns of victory. That's Mary. So this text can remind us, meditate, look at, that's Jesus, God incarnate, walking along that road where everybody else is scared to go, waiting for them to come out. He wants to free these two poor people. Remember, exorcism and deliverance is a ministry of mercy. And he frees them. And he gives the crowd, the whole region, a chance to know there's a living God in their midst. And they say, look, Jesus, just a little too much reality for us. You know, we just want to eat, drink, make money, you know, hang around, and then hope we die without hurting too much.